This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, we began a couple weeks ago to talk about the Antichrist, the rise and fall. The Antichrist rise has been predicted for a long time in the Bible. Daniel talks about it in the book of Daniel. Daniel talking about there shall rise a king of fierce countenance. That's what he's called. Daniel 9 and 7. A king of fierce countenance shall arise. And over in 9:27, he talks about how this particular king is going to make a covenant with all of the nations of the Middle East. He's going to make a covenant, a peace pact. But it's called the covenant of death, because in the middle of the covenant, he comes in, he breaks the covenant, he goes into the temple, he desecrates the temple of God, he commands the daily sacrifices to cease, and then he goes in and set himself up as God and command everyone to worship him as though he was God. Daniel 9:27 says, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And as we discussed, it's a week of years, in other words, 7 year period. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease for the overspreading of abomination. He shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, Jesus also quotes this same scripture or talks about this same time in Matthew chapter 24. And when you look at Matthew 24, starting at verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, not only is he talking about the physical destruction of the temple that took place in AD 70 by the Roman general Titus, when he came in and he invaded Jerusalem and the people scattered. They left the city of Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. But he's also talking about a dismantling of the religious practices of that day. Jesus is a transitional prophet. He was the one ushering in the New Testament. He brought both Jew and Gentile together. The church is known as the bride of Christ, but Israel is known as the wife of Jehovah. So we have two groups, or I should say two elect groups on the earth, where God chose Israel and he chose them to be his people. And he says over in Jeremiah chapter 30 that in the last days he's going to do a new thing. He said, I'm going to write my law in their heart. I'm going to be their God. They're going to be my people. They're going to know me for themselves, and their sins I shall remember no more. So he's talking about restoring the house of Israel in the last days. But that time and that period is called by Jeremiah a time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is Israel. His name was changed to Israel when he wrestled with the angel, and the angel knocked his hip out of joint. And he said, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but your name shall be called Israel. For as a king or as a priest, you have found a prince, you have found favor with God and man. And we know that came out of Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel. And so God still has a covenant people, and he still has a covenant promise. But the whole house of Israel, in order to be saved, still have to come into a saving faith knowledge of who Jesus is. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Jew. He is the Savior of the world who died on the cross for our sins. And without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. But Satan, in all of his wickedness, tried to neglect the promises of God when on the birth of Christ, when he tried to destroy the Lord during the time of his birth by sacrificing or killing all of the children in Jerusalem from 2 years of age and under in order to try to stop the birth of the Messiah. Remember, the wise men from Babylon had came in Jerusalem and saw Herod the king and said, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" Now, this upset Herod and all of Israel altogether, because when they came into town, they didn't, you know, we predict, we look at Christmas and we see three lonely wise men coming into the city. No, that's not how they came in at all. They came in with an entourage. These were royal men. These men had prestige. They had a whole entourage coming into the city. And this is why all of Jerusalem was upset. I mean, three people walk into town, who would even notice them? But they came in to worship. Where is he who was born king of the Jews? We have saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. And this is when Satan went after the woman and tried to destroy the man child before he was even born. Go over to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 12 gives us a picture or image of how Satan tried to destroy Christ even before he was born, and it's like a synoptic view of the age-long struggle that took place. In Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it said, "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, travailed in birth and pained to be delivered." Now, we know that this woman is the picture of the nation of Israel. We know over in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 9, Joseph dreamed a dream. Go over to Genesis chapter 37 and look at that. In Genesis chapter 37, it gives you the story of Joseph and how he had dreamed a dream and how his brothers hated him because of the dream. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, and in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was the son of Bilhah, the son of Zilpah, and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." This is, now Israel loved Joseph more than all of the children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So he loved Joseph more than the rest of the brothers, and the brothers envied him because of that. And then he made Joseph this special coat of many colors. He says, "And when the brethren saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Every time they saw him, they had something negative and bad to say to him. He said, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it unto his brother, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto him, Hear ye, I pray thee, you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, I was binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaves arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaves." What does that mean? He said, "My sheaves stood up on the hind legs, and your sheaves bowed down to mine." You know, so the brother said, "Hold up, wait a minute, what's going on with this dream?" And his brother said unto him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us?" So they recognized that the dream was a dream of Joseph reigning over them. "Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. And then he said, "And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brother." And sometimes you can't tell everybody everything, you know, especially when folks don't really like you. "He dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brother and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold," here we go to reference that we find in Revelation chapter 12. He says, "And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me. And he told it unto his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother," oh, that's the sun and the moon, "and thy brethren indeed come and bow ourselves down unto the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. So when we're establishing this chapter, when it says in Revelation chapter 12, it said, "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon, just like you just dreamed, under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And she, being with pain, cried in birth and travailed in pain to be delivered. And so what we see here is when Mary was with child, when she was about to have the birth of Christ, when there was no room in the inn, she was into a place where she was about to deliver. This is when they saw the star in the east, that there was born a king of the Jews, and they came. And Herod said, go and find where the young child is and come back and give me word that I may go and worship him also. He was lying. He didn't want to go worship Jesus. He wanted to know where Jesus was so he could go out and try to destroy him. And the Bible talks about in Jeremiah, there's a prophecy concerning Rachel weeping for her children and were not. In other words, it talks about a time in Ramah where Rachel was weeping for the death of her children. It was prophesied that this would take place, that Herod would go after all of the children and destroy them, trying to destroy the Savior, Jesus. And so it says here, she being with child cried and travailed in birth and pain to be delivered. It said, there appeared another woman wonder in heaven, a great red dragon, which is depicted as Satan, but also is a symbolism of what Herod did concerning the child Jesus. There appeared, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, this dragon is also depicted in Revelation chapter 13 in this same imagery. We'll get to it in a little bit. He said, and his tail drew a third part of the stars from heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And this is what he tried to do. He tried to destroy Jesus at his birth. Tried to destroy him. So what did he do? He had all of the children 3 years of age and under murdered, trying to destroy Jesus. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Well, we know this is Jesus. Jesus is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron when he returns. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. We know that when he was crucified, that he was resurrected, and the disciples saw him ascend up into heaven. And the Bible says that Jesus is seated right now at the right hand of God. He said, and the woman fled into the wilderness, talking about Israel, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, or half of the tribulation period. During the tribulation hour, Satan is going to persecute Israel, trying to destroy Israel during that time, but God is going to protect them for 3.5 years. Then he speaks, and it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, that deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He said, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdoms of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. There's going to come a time when Antichrist is going to be on the scene, that he's going to persecute the tribulation saints, those that are left behind, those that are still here during the tribulation period. He is going to persecute them, and he's going to wear out the saints. He's going to overcome them. Back in Matthew, Jesus gives us some more information about the last days and how they're going to be viewed. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to pick up on verse 3. He said, he said upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Deception is going to be running rampant in the last days. Many people are going to be stepping up saying, I'm Jesus. I'm the Christ. I'm the Christ. And people are going to be looking to follow after them. Because the Bible says that in the last days, he said, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Not only that, they said they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, tell me something good. Tell me something that's pleasing. Don't tell me the truth. Don't tell me that this world is about to come to an end. Don't tell me about sin in my life. Don't tell me that I need to get some things straight. No, tell me how to get in half. Tell me how to be have a happy, happy, joy, feel-good day. But don't tell me the truth so I can prepare myself. But this ministry is designed to prepare the body of Christ for the return of the Lord. Over in Amos said, know one thing, your sin shall find you out. Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. In other words, we have to make a preparation. We have to be ready because these are the last days and Jesus is soon to return. And so what we're doing is getting our mind renewed to understand not to get caught up in the things of this world, to look at things from a different paradigm, to see the signs of the times, to know that we're in these last days, not to be fearful, but to know how to position yourself, knowing that God is also giving you power and authority over every satanic and demonic force. You need to know who you are in God so you can put on your whole armor and be ready to fight this spiritual warfare before Jesus comes, because there are many antichrists that are already in the world. Jesus answered said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We're hearing the wars and rumors of war, Ukraine, Israel, Syria, you just know it, just name it, all throughout the globe, things are happening. What about all the natural disasters that are right in our face that we're ignoring? It's freezing over in the Midwest and in the East, and it's burning on the West Coast. We got floods, we got hurricanes, we got earthquakes, tsunamis, we got unnatural phenomena appearing in the heavens. The alignment of the planets was just what? Yesterday, I think it was, all the alignment of the planets. We see stuff, but we just go on with everyday life that we don't notice none of these things. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. It's going to come a time that when you represent Christ, it may be those of your own family who turn you in, who are against you, because they're going to get a part of this new world situation. See, I think we got a reprieve for a moment. I mean, things are still bad, don't get me wrong. A reprieve for what judgment would have come if we had continued in the way that we were going. See, the world acting up is one thing, but when God starts judging you, that's another thing. And so now we see all the diseases that popped out, the COVID-19, the COVID variants, and now they're talking about the bird flu. Then they're talking about something else they got. They got diseases popping out every time you look around. They're giving y'all a cocktail of vaccines. They got you all messed up that's altering your DNA and alternately altering your nature. Your nature is changing. He says, and because iniquity, which is sin, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all of the world for witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. We have to be the ones to purvey the message of reconciliation, this gospel. He said, when you therefore, which we talked about earlier, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, we're talking about how the Antichrist is going to go into the temple and desecrate the temple, set itself up as God. Jesus talks about the same thing right here. He said, when you said therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let him which is in Judea flee into the mountains. In other words, when you see this time coming, those that are of the Jews that are still here, he says it's time to get out and dodge. Oh, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about this rise, this Antichrist, and it talks about the time and seasons that we're in now. Paul said, you're supposed to be so aware, you're supposed to be so enlightened that these things are not supposed to sneak up on you. Ain't supposed to come upon you unaware. First Thessalonians 5:1, he said, but of the time and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. What is he talking about? Remember I said the Antichrist is going to come in? He's going to make a peace treaty for 7 years. And in the midst of that peace treaty, he's going to break it and go in and desecrate the temple and set himself up as God and come in and all to worship him. So he said, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes, even as destruction upon a woman in travail, a woman with child, and they shall not escape. He said, but ye, brethren, talking about you, you are not in the darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Thief don't announce when he's coming. Thief don't say, Teresa, I'm going to be breaking in your house at 7:30 today, so if you could, you know, have stuff set out for me so I ain't got to look too hard, you know. No, they don't tell you they're coming. And when they come, they don't steal everything. They're only looking for what's valuable. They're only looking for something that they can use. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, it says, but ye, brethren, are of the light and children of the day. You are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep or be ignorant of the times as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Why? For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that rather we wake or sleep, whether we be alive or rather we be dead, we should live together with him. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It talks about how the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the angel, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. So whether we wake or sleep, we'll live together with him. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He says, so therefore, comfort one another with these words, even as you do. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And we went over this last time. Paul talks about the coming of the Lord, us being gathered together unto him, being caught out, and then after our departure, the Antichrist being revealed. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The word at hand means imminent. It could happen at any moment. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That falling away is the rapture. It's not a defecting from the faith. That happens, that is talked about, but not in this particular verse of scripture. It's talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, or a snatching away, or a separation, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, the Antichrist cannot even be revealed until the church is taken out of the way. And then when the church is taken out of the way, this is when he's going to step on the scene. He's going to come in during a time when there's mass chaos on the earth. Can you imagine what the headlines are going to be after the rapture? Millions missing, alien abduction, they're going to make up something while we're gone. And he's going to come in with a man with a plan. He's going to be a diplomat. He's going to come in. He's going to bring peace. He's going to bring stability. He's going to be the one that brings the plan. What is he going to do? He says, remember ye not that yet when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He said, now you should know this already. He said, now you know what withholdeth, or that which is restraining or restricting the Antichrist from coming forth. He said, now you know what withholdeth that he, talking about the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now let, the word let is the old English word for hinders. Only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he or the hinderer be taken out of the way. Who is the hinderer? It's the church. The church is the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. After the rapture, the church is gone. What happened when the lights go out? Darkness. What is salt used for? Preservative and flavor. But after we go, ain't going to be no flavor. It's going to be corruption. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. It's at that point that Antichrist will be revealed. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Remember, we read over in the book of Daniel that this king of fierce countenance is going to be working with satanic or demonic power. He's not going to have, it's not going to be a natural influence. He's going to be influenced by Satan. He's going to exhibit Satan, satanic power and authority. He said, for this cause, because they receive not the love of the truth. Now, we're preaching this message. A lot of people talking about, man, you've been talking about Jesus has been coming for 100 years. He ain't got here yet. What makes you think he's coming now? You still believe that Jesus is coming again? And so they begin to mock you. They don't believe this. They don't believe the message of reconciliation. You ask them, are they saved? They say, saved from what? I don't know. I was lost. You know, they just be like, you know, like, what do I need? I think I'm okay. I think I'm a good person. I live my own present day truth. I live my own truth. No, there's one truth. It's the word of God. He said, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. They're going to believe that rhetoric. They're going to believe that lie that Satan's going to be putting out, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because the Lord has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. When you got saved, God separated you, saint from sinner. Now you're a saint. You're no longer a sinner. God has separated you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Deserve.